Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast, providing an exclusive look into efforts to conserve the wild things and wild places in Texas.
I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and we're in downtown Austin today, high above Austin in the offices of the Texas Land Magazine, here with Tom Alexander, the publisher. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lydia. It's good to be here.
I just want to talk to you about a couple of things, and one is just kind of what you do in rural real estate and kind of what the picture is out there right now in Texas.
Sure. So I'm the publisher of the Land Magazines, which is our national land magazine, and then our flagship, which is our Texas Land Magazine. And I publish those for the land.com network. So we are the largest rural listing service platform, as you would say. And we have three online businesses, and we have the two magazines.
And what have you noticed just in terms of trends with real estate in rural? Because you've been doing it longer than you.
35 years
yeah.
now.
Yeah. What have you noticed?
Gosh, it's so wonderful to be in Texas to be able to answer that question, because Texans love their ranches, and it's almost a chic social thing to be able to own property. So you have the legacy ranches out there, and then you have the new investment ranches and the hardcore cattle ranches and the hunting ranches. But overall, I think the wealthier Texans, they love to have property within their portfolio. So we've always seen a pretty consistent market there. We've had some downturns in the market, which we had kind of starting in late 2007 to 2008, 9, and 10, where the market flattened out a little bit because of just what happened nationally. Mm-hmm. So what we really saw is we didn't see prices going down that much, but we really did see not as many transactions happening. So now that things over the last few years, people have become more comfortable with the market, so you're seeing the prices go up and you're seeing the number of transactions really increase. And then after these elections, as I always say, don't really care about somebody's politics, but you can't argue with it is definitely improving the market. So we're glad to see that.
Of course, Parks and Wildlife, you've been involved with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation for the last couple of years with the Lone Star Land Steward
yes.
Award program. Why are you involved in that program?
I just love it. I think it's a great platform to focus on people that really care about the land stewardship. And so whether it's a large family that owns a place that's been in their family for years and years, or it's somebody new that takes a property and then really throws their conservation efforts into it. It just throws a spotlight on that, which is what we want. What we're all about here is land ownership and land stewardship.
Has that made you more aware of the type of efforts that landowners do? Were you aware of it before, and did this just reinforce it, or what?
Yes, you've always really had, there's been the investment side of it where people would go in and they would buy a ranch and they'd fix it up, and that was really just to improve it and sell it and make a dollar. What I really like, which is kind of where my family came in, because I watched my grandfather when I was very young, I was taught about land stewardship and the love of the land. And my family had a place up in Hunt on the Guadalupe River. So I just remember spending time walking in the woods with my grandfather, hunting. Always say I was so blessed to shoot my first deer sitting on my grandfather's knee when I was 8 years old with an open sight 30-30. And I just remember it like it was yesterday. So I think there is that type of stewardship in the land, and what I really like there is the conservation efforts when people love that land and they're buying a property to stay in their family forever. And that's the part of the business that I really like.
And of course, there's a lot I would imagine there's a lot of new Texans that are investing in real estate out in the country.
There are a lot of new Texans. There are a lot of people coming to Texas and buying land. And then there's a lot of younger Texans. I won't throw names, but I've heard of young people that are selling their tech companies out of Austin and going out and spending $50 million on a ranch. And because they just think it's what you do. And then they go and throw improvements into it and put exotics on it, whatever it is that is going to make them happy, if they just go and make it their own. But they know it's a good investment.
Now that reminds me of, are you familiar with the Epic Bar story? Taylor Forrest and Katie and Taylor, they run Epic Bar out of Austin, and mm-hmm. it was a company that it became very successful very quickly. They got bought by a major corporation. They took that money and they invested it in a ranch outside mm-hmm. of Fredericksburg, and they are now practicing what they preach in terms of sustainable farming.
Yep.
So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Taylor Collins and Katie Forrest. It came to me there. But that's exact example of what you talked about there, which is pretty cool. Do you think that most folks who are investing, city folks who are investing in land, do you think most of them are aware of conservation and what it takes?
I think most of them are. I think initially they go in there and they go into that area that they may have history in. Like, I love South Texas, but with our family property where it was in the hill country, I just love rocks and cedar. So I need the smell of that when I wake up in the morning because that is just home to me. So those conservation efforts, I think people go to the area that they are most drawn to. And then once they get there, they decide, what am I going to do with this property? And when their heart is in it, they start looking at what are my conservation plans going to be, whether it's going in and reseeding with native grasses, building a lake for the waterfowl, maybe it's turkey habitat or deer habitat. But I think it's just whatever they love. They look into those conservation efforts. They know that is long-term what is going to be the best value for their property, and they go with it.
And how do you help connect folks with the resources to do that?
Oftentimes I do. There's a number of different ways that you can. But as a real estate broker, I work on ranch sales on occasion. Most of my job is publishing and managing the magazines. But yes, there's a number of resources, and oftentimes, whether it's somebody that I'm helping purchase a place or sell a place, a lot of times people just call up and say, who do we talk to? You know, you've been in this space for a long time, and we'll guide them, whether it's, you know, working on a lake or reseeding a pasture or brush management, whatever it is. Yeah, we can plug them in.
You know, a few years back, well, maybe not a few years back, more than a few, there was a lot of talk about legacy media, magazines, kind of on the downswing and kind of going out. Mm-hmm. But you're not seeing that.
Not at all.
Why do you think people are still interested in magazines and in your magazine in particular?
Probably it may just be a generational thing. You know, some people say that the younger people coming up now have never bought a magazine, but some of the trends out there show that why they haven't now, as they get a little bit older, they are picking up publications. So you can always go online. And I think one of the problems with online is there's so much information and there's so many properties. And when you have a beautiful magazine that is laid out with the nice big photos that can guide you to a website where you can get detailed information. But around those listings, you have articles about land steward awards or comp sales that we have, brush management like we were talking about, everything within this space to help that person that is buying or is just has a general interest in land.
Okay. And your magazine, tell me about the magazine, what you're trying to achieve, who your readers are.
Texas Land Magazine in particular.
Yeah,
so what we're trying to reach the people that are both buying and selling properties. So we do that very carefully. We have the largest footprint of any rural real estate online in the nation, really. So we have 8 million visitors that are going onto our websites monthly. So a ton of people going in, they're not all looking for multi-million dollar properties, and that's really what the magazine focuses on, is it's really those top, maybe it's 2% or 3% of the brokers out there in Texas that are looking to separate themselves out from the masses that are online. So right now we may have 4,500 brokers in Texas that are members of our Lands of America website or our land.com platform. And of all of those 4,500, maybe there's 2% that are dealing in that real high-end market. They want to separate themselves out. When they're selling those big properties, they want to show that seller, and they want to be in front of the buyers that are looking at those multi-million dollar deals. And what we do is we somewhat data mine off of those 8 million visitors coming into our website, and we cherry pick the ones looking for the most expensive properties. We have a way of getting their information and getting them to opt in to receive a magazine, and then we send a magazine out to them. And then hopefully we get them to subscribe. So we're kind of peeling off a lot of the more interested people that are willing mm-hmm. to pay for a subscription. Mm-hmm. But we always have a new rotation of people that we know are out there currently looking at million, two, three, $4 million properties, and they get the magazine.
It just magically
And we're the only
appears.
People that can do that.
It just magically appears on the doorstep.
Just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that. People call up, how did I get on this list?
Very carefully.
Yeah, very, very carefully. Yeah. It's not cheap.
Well, we certainly, the foundation has appreciated partnering with you on Lone Star Land Stewards, and now you're partnering with us on the We Will Not Be Tamed campaign.
When I saw that, I was just really intrigued. I thought the way that y'all rolled that out and the entire idea, because it focuses both on private land and public land. And it's funny, recently I saw somebody that had a shirt on and it said, their shirt said, public landowner. And I think that's true, you know, because we are the public landowners. Mm-hmm. And Texas, you know, through the Texas Parks and Wildlife, there are so many resources out there. You know, whether it is a state park that you're going to go to, whether it's Enchanted Rock to take your kids to, whatever it is, people, I don't think they've taken the time to really understand the opportunities that they have out there. And I think that's what this program does. It shows people what that is.
Well, we really appreciate that. And then, of course, we're going to be reading about the campaign in the pages of your magazine mm-hmm. in the summer and the fall and the winter issue.
Yeah.
The summer issue, when does that come out? And how can people get it if they want to?
Sure. So you can go to land.com, and in the menu bar, it says magazines. And just click on About Magazines, and you can scroll at the bottom. And you can see a digital version of the current magazine, or you can subscribe. And typically when you subscribe, you get the next issue that's coming out. So, you know, I think also there's a way of opting in and maybe paying for the current issue, but you can look at that digitally mm-hmm. and again, get the next one when it comes out.
Okay, well, we really appreciate your support
Thanks.
Of this campaign of Lone Star Land Stewards and Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Thank you.
Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast is brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, supporting high-impact conservation projects across the state. Find out how you can help at tpwf.org.